And he said, it's all a mess, God. This world you created is nothing but a terrible mess. Why, even I could make a world better than this one. And then in the midst of that tremendous silence in that chapel, Peter heard a voice, caused his eyes to open up and his jaw to drop. And the voice of the Lord said this, and that is exactly what I want you to do. The same kind of world that Peter was so disturbed about, the same kind of world that we live in today, was the kind of world that Samuel was born into. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you'll look in verse number 1, it said, meanwhile, the boy Samuel was serving the Lord by assisting Eli. In those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. The world that Samuel was born into was a very spiritually dark world. The nation of Israel was going through a very difficult time. The people of Israel had gotten so far away from the Lord. One of the reasons was because the spiritual leaders themselves were so far from the Lord. In fact, the sons of the high priest of Eli, who were priests themselves, were doing some pretty wicked things at the tabernacle in Shiloh. Eli's sons, these men who were supposed to be leading people to God, had no fear of God. And they were setting a horrible example for the people to follow. And on top of this, Eli, the high priest, allowed this evil to continue. No wonder the word of the Lord was rare. No wonder the people didn't hear the voice of the Lord. The nation of Israel, the people of God, were experiencing a famine, a spiritual famine, a famine from hearing the word of the Lord. We've got to remember that a holy God will have nothing to do with unholy people. God will convict them of their sin and he will seek to bring them back into a relationship with himself, but God will not reveal himself to those who are in constant rebellion against him. If we don't want to hear from God, God's not going to force himself on us. So Israel's sin, their rebellion against God, kept them from hearing the voice of God. What occurred was a total communication breakdown between God and his people. They were in desperate need of someone to come into their midst, in the midst of all the mess that they were living in, and proclaim God's word to them once again. What God needed was to raise up someone who would be his mouthpiece for the people. Someone who would be holy and pure and innocent. Someone who was ready to hear God's voice. Not just hear it, but listen to his voice and obey him. And boldly and faithfully proclaim God's message to his people. And so we see in the midst of what was happening in this dark time spiritually in the nation of Israel, God did raise up such a young man. A young man named Samuel. And God would use him to become a very powerful prophet of the Lord. A young man that was mightily used by God, a world changer. If you'll remember the story of Samuel, Samuel's mother, Hannah, and Samuel's father, when he was very young, they dedicated Samuel to the Lord. They took him to the tabernacle and allowed Samuel to begin to serve the Lord along with Eli at the tabernacle when Samuel was very young. Having been left in the care of Eli, Samuel was blessed to grow up in the presence of the Lord. Samuel came to know the ways of the Lord from a very young age. And the Bible says in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, the Bible says that as Samuel continued to grow, he gained favor with the Lord and the people. When the people came to the tabernacle and they saw him, they realized that there was something special in his life. Samuel's early years were not wasted. God used those early years to train Samuel, to prepare him for the time when he would speak mightily to Samuel himself. So as we look in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and we look at this story today, we see what took place. One night as Samuel was sleeping near the Ark of the Covenant, this was the place where the presence of God resided in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And the Holy of Holies was a place where the high priest could go into only one time of the year to take care of the sins of the people of Israel. Samuel, we see, stayed in the tabernacle, in rooms very near to the Ark of the Covenant, near the presence of God. And so one night as Samuel was sleeping near the presence of God, he heard a voice calling out to him. This happened once, and then it happened again. And each time he went to Eli, and he woke him up, thinking that it was Eli that was calling out to him. And this is what he said, "Sir, did you call me?" "No, Samuel, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. It wasn't me." This happened twice. Now, Samuel had an excuse for making a mistake about hearing this voice. It had never happened to him before. Even though he had grown up literally in the tabernacle, very close to the presence of God, Samuel had never heard God speak before. Verse number seven says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. But since this was a new experience for him, he had no way of understanding or interpreting what was happening. He didn't know how to respond. So when God called him a third time, what did he do? Naturally, he went back to Eli and said, "Sir, are you calling me?" "No, Samuel, it's not me." And then finally, the light bulb went off in Eli's mind. He finally figured out what God was doing here. God was calling out to Samuel. So he told Samuel, "If you hear this voice again, say this, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" The next time, Samuel would be ready. And then the Lord came and he spoke to Samuel a fourth time. The Lord called out his name twice, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel responded, "Yes, your servant is listening." Let's look very carefully at the wording here. He didn't just say, "Yes, your servant is hearing your voice." He said, "Yes, your servant is listening." What does this mean? There's a difference between hearing and listening. When I was growing up, and maybe some of you parents have experienced this, when I was growing up and my mom needed to tell me something, she said, "Do you hear me? Are you hearing me?" And I would say, "Yes, I hear you, I hear you." But if we hear someone, sometimes we may not remember, and many times I would forget what my mom said because I was just hearing her voice, but I wasn't taking to heart what she said to me. So when we listen, we take to heart what is being said to us and we respond. And this is what Samuel was saying. "God, I'm not just hearing your voice, but I'm listening. I'm listening to you. I'm going to respond. I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. I'm going to obey you." Now was the time when God chose to fully reveal himself to Samuel. Samuel had been prepared for such a time as this. He was now ready to listen and obey. And what happened next was very serious. The Lord said to Samuel in verse number 11, he said, "I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family. I have warned him continually that judgment is coming for his family because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings." The Lord gave a very clear word, a very severe judgment against Eli and his family. Sin has consequences, and sometimes it has very serious consequences. This message troubled Samuel. And so he returned to bed, and he got up in the morning, and he went about his regular chores. And he was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had told him. But Eli knew that God had been speaking to him that night before. And he knew that there was a message for him and his family. And so Eli said to Samuel, tell me what God told you. And may it be ever so severe with you if you don't tell me everything. So Samuel told him everything. And Eli accepted this as a message from the Lord. He said, may the Lord's will be done. He knew that he and his family would face the drastic consequences of their sin. And in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 19, we see that from this point on, as Samuel continued to grow, it says the presence and the power of the Lord were with him. And that people from one end of the nation to the other recognized the calling on Samuel's life. That he was a messenger from God, that he was a prophet, that he was one who would lead the Lord's people back to a relationship with him. And so as the Lord continued to reveal his messages to Samuel, Samuel was faithful to share the word of the Lord, those messages with the people of Israel. Finally, the spiritual famine was over. And it was all because one young man stepped out and said, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. You know, every person who has been used mightily by God has taken the time to stop and listen to his voice when he has spoken to them. And the great thing about being used by God is you don't have to wait until you're older. You don't have to wait until you're a Bible scholar. You don't have to wait until you're spiritually mature. You don't have to wait to be a full-time missionary or a deacon or an elder, a teacher or a pastor, or any other kind of church leader to be used by God. We are all God's people. We are all gifted in different ways, and God wants to use each and every one of us. And God speaks to us every day, and he wants us to hear, not only hear, but listen and follow him. You see, God wants to use you. He wants to use all of us, no matter what age we are. He can and will call us out to do great things for him. The Lord will use those who have an attentive ear and an obedient heart. He'll use us to make a powerful impact in the messed up world that we live in. If we look around, we see how messed up our world is. If we look around, we see how spiritually dark things are around us. But the Lord has called us to shine the light in the darkness. He has called us to make an impact. And we have his very presence with us. And God will use us if we have an attentive ear and an obedient heart. He'll use us to boldly and clearly and passionately proclaim the truth from his word. That he is real. That he created us to be in a relationship with him. God never created us to be apart from him. Those who are faithful to proclaim the truth of God's word will share this. That we all have a problem. A sin problem. We want to live life our own way instead of God's way, but God's way is so much better than we could ever hope for or dream of or imagine. We all have a problem, and that separates us from God. But those who are faithful to proclaim the Lord's word and the truth about who Jesus is and what the good news is all about, they'll share that, yes, sin does separate us from the Lord. And there's only one way to get back into a right relationship with God, and that's through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. And if we'll place our full faith and trust in him, in Jesus alone, he will bless us with eternal life. He will forgive us, cleanse us, and set us free to be the people that he has called us and created us to be. God spoke to and revealed himself to Samuel that night in the tabernacle. And he continued to speak to Samuel. He continued to give messages for the people of Israel to hear. Messages that they didn't necessarily want to hear, but they needed to hear. Samuel was faithful to hear God's voice, to listen and to obey. Just like in Samuel's day, God continues to reveal himself to us. He does it today through his word, through his written word. And today, God's Spirit, his presence doesn't reside in an ark, the Ark of the Covenant. It doesn't reside in a building. His presence resides in us. We are his temple. And I continue to think about this and meditate on this. God lives inside of us. His Holy Spirit resides in us. And the power of God Almighty is within us and at our disposal. You know, if you read throughout the scriptures, you'll see that wherever the presence of God is, people's lives are changed. And if we'll stay in a right relationship with God, wherever we go each and every day, God's presence in us, his love flowing out of us, will flow over and impact the lives of those around us. And hopefully we will see transformation in their lives. Do you want to be used by God? Do you want to hear his voice, clearly hear his voice? Then it's going to take a real sacrifice on your part. One of the greatest sacrifices that the Lord requires of us is to spend time with him each and every day. Not just 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but lots of time so that we'll be able to recognize his voice. I have heard this from students and I've heard this from adults. I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear God's voice. I want to recognize God's voice. I want to know God's voice. I want to know God's will. God will reveal himself to us, but we need to spend the necessary time with him to begin to recognize his voice, to know his voice, to hear his voice, and not just to hear his voice, but to follow him. What happened to Samuel can happen in our lives also. When we get into God's presence, if we commit every day to get into God's presence, he will speak to us. And we can say, yes, Lord, I'm beginning to hear your voice. And I not only want to hear your voice, I want to listen to what you have to say to me. Because, Lord, I know there are so many amazing things that you want to share with me. You know, God is all about revelation. Jesus, in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the original language, that's logos. That means revelation. In the beginning was the revelation. And the revelation was with God, and the revelation was God. Jesus is the revelation of God. Jesus is God fully revealed to us. And Jesus wants to make himself known to us more and more every day. And the only way that we can get to know him is by spending time with him each and every day. By having that daily quiet time, devotional time, whatever you want to call it. Spending that necessary time that we need to with him every day. But that's not all we need to do. A lot of times people think, you know, I did my quiet time. I had a good quiet time. I heard so much from God. I spent an hour in the Lord with the Lord in prayer, in praise, in his word. And now I'm going off and doing the rest, living my life for the rest of the day for myself. Not only does the Lord want us to develop a powerful quiet time, he wants us to develop a strong daily walk with him. Intentionally getting to know him better all throughout the day. Keeping that communication going with him throughout the entire day. What's it going to take for us to be ready to hear from the Lord? We've got to improve our spiritual listening skills. And you can see in your bulletin, you can fill in some blanks there if you would like to. Here's some key ways that we can be ready to listen and obey when God speaks. First of all, we need to be ready by remaining faithful. I would encourage you to try to stay in a right relationship with the Lord each and every day. When you get up in the morning, greet the Lord first and say, Lord, good morning. I come before you right now. Would you be Lord over my life today? I fully surrender and submit myself to you today. You are my commander in chief. I want to hear you. I want to follow you. I want to obey you. Be ready by remaining faithful. Secondly, be eager to hear from the Lord and obey him. We need to be hungry and thirsty for the Lord, for His presence, for His voice. I would say we need to be desperate to hear from God. We see that in the Psalms. Lord, I hunger and I thirst for You. We should have that desire. When you hear God's voice, when you know God's voice, when you hear God's voice, when you hear God speaking to you, you begin to realize how amazing that is. And you want that to take place in your life on a continual basis. Once you've experienced Him, you want more and more of Him. Be eager to hear from the Lord and obey Him. Hunger and thirst for Him. Be desperate for Him. Thirdly, be available to be used by the Lord. Samuel made himself available. If you make yourself available, the Lord will empower you to touch people's lives in some amazing ways. He'll work through you to help bring about healing and restoration and real freedom to the messed up people in our world. Fourthly, be willing to listen to the right voice. Samuel listened to the right voice, God's voice. Today, there are so many voices that are vying for our attention. They're trying to influence us. They're trying to shape our way of thinking. We need to ask ourselves, am I listening to God's voice? Or am I listening to the voice of other people? Or some spirit that is trying to lead me away from God? We have to be very careful to discern and distinguish between God's voice and the voice of the enemy. Clearly, if what the voice is saying does not agree with God's word, we need to trash it right away. Listening to God's Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will lead us into a deeper understanding of God, will lead us into a greater intimacy with Him. We've got to recognize the voice of our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, and follow Him. You know, a shepherd knows his sheep. A shepherd even names his sheep. Many times sheep have different characteristics. And so a shepherd will name his sheep. He knows each one because he has spent lots and lots of time with them, watching over them, protecting them, caring for them, and loving his sheep. To the shepherd, his sheep are very precious to him. And even though they are his property, they're more to him. They're his life. They're like family. Like some of us, we have pets, and they're like family. And there's a great sense of belonging between sheep and their shepherd. To the shepherd, his sheep are of great value to him. And he would do anything, and I mean anything, to make sure his sheep were provided for, protected, and taken care of. One of the great things about sheep and a shepherd is that the shepherd continually talks to them. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. They recognize his voice when he calls them out every morning out of the sheep pen to go to the green pastures to eat, to go to the refreshing cool waters to drink. And if anyone else other than the shepherd tries to call them out of the sheep pen, they won't go because they don't recognize the voice of a stranger. They only follow, they only listen to, they only obey the voice of their good and loving shepherd. And you know what? Jesus says the same thing about us. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me." Each and every day, Jesus is speaking to us. You look in Revelation 3 and verse 20. This is a verse that is speaking to believers. Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me knock and open the door, I will come in and they will eat with me and I with them." Every day, Jesus is standing at the door. And he said, "I want to spend time with you. Would you open the door?" and let's spend so much time together. I know you. You are my sheep. I want you to recognize who I am and how I can work in your life and how I can use you. I want you to know the great plans that I have for you, both now and for the future. I want to ask us, are we focusing our attention on him and spending the necessary time each and every day to not just hear his voice, but to recognize his voice, to listen to him, and to follow his plans for our lives? We live in a crazy, messed up world. Just like Peter thought at the beginning of the message. Chaos, confusion, and calamity are rampant. Look at what has happened in the world recently. We have earthquakes, we have floods, we have fires, we have the coronavirus. These are desperate times that we live in. What's the Lord doing in our world today? He's calling you and me, those of us who are his faithful followers. He's calling us to bring hope and help and healing to those who so desperately need him and need that hope and that help and that healing. And speaking about hearing and listening, let's think about this for a moment. We have both the physically impaired, hearing impaired, and spiritually hearing impaired in our world. Throughout this past week, I've been praying for unreached people groups around the world. Did you know that one of the least and most overlooked people groups in the world are the physically deaf? One of the least reached and most overlooked people groups in the world are the physically deaf. The International Mission Board has done some research, and they have found that there are 189 different deaf people groups in the world. Many of them have never even had the name of Jesus signed to them. Some of these people groups don't even have the sign language to express the gospel, to express the Bible, to express Jesus. They need someone to go to them. I had the opportunity when I was in college, from the very get-go, there were actually some deaf students in my college. And there were some faithful followers of Jesus, some fellow students who had learned sign language, and they showed real love and compassion and helped those deaf students. They would sign for them in the classes what the professor was saying, so that they could understand, so that they could be a part of the normal life of college. In our world today, in China alone, there are almost 15 million deaf, and there are about 13 million in India. And we know that we are surrounded by so many who are spiritually deaf. One of the least reached areas in North America is Montreal, Canada, where less than 2% of the population claim to be Christian. We live in a time and a place where people need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear the truth about who Jesus is, to hear the good news, to know that life can be different, that there is real hope in this life. What do we need to do? We need to share our God stories with them, of how Jesus has changed us, transformed us, and given us true hope, not only for this life, but for eternity. Our world is desperate to know that someone cares for them, that there really is true hope and help and healing. The Lord's calling us. He's calling us to action. He's calling us to act in love. He's calling us to meet the very real needs of very real people in our very real world. Do we have attentive ears? Do we have an obedient heart just like Samuel? Do we have a 2020 vision to see where God is working and to join him there? Let's bow our heads.